Ezekiel chapter 1, and then I don't know how far we'll go from there. Thank you for all your praying. The praying on Wednesday nights is shifting and increasing and connecting to what God is bringing. So it's really, thank you so much for that prayer. Thank you for all the prayer. Those who've registered already online and are setting their hearts toward the whole living seminar. Cammy and I have been wanting to do this for over a year, and boy, the clarity that's come this last week. And I'll tell you what the thing God wants to highlight, like we can already see, is the soul and understanding the process of the salvation of the soul, and how the soul, what happened, and why is the soul such a at times difficult entity, and confuses it, and seeks to usurp the place that the Spirit's supposed to hold, and puts demands on God that he won't meet, and then tries to control God by protesting without going further, and it just, we get locked up. I've been locked up at times for years, so I know firsthand. But the grace that's on that, so thank you very, very much for praying, because it's, register if, you know, it's not going to be anything you don't know. It's all new, nothing new under the sun. If the Lord's stirring in your heart, come. If he's not, be free. It'll be online. We'll put it online, a live stream, free, and it'll be on demand later, so you can find it however God stirs you to get it. But those that you, if God is stirring you, be praying, because there's just times when a bit of understanding is granted in submission to God and who he is and what he's done. Then all of a sudden we can make massive headway, because we're, you know, the big battle for most of us is just what our kids have with us, you know, who's the boss? Everybody say, Jesus is the boss. And if you let Jesus be boss, it just moves things quickly. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so Psalm 45. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I got a prize. I want to pray for our president to ask God's blessing on the land. This is inauguration weekend. It's massive. I've been blessing our president since George Bush Sr. I bless every president the same. I love every president and honor their place. The strife that our country has entered into is because we have failed to grasp you do not speak evil of dignitaries. Because we speak evil of dignitaries, we've loosed accusation to the highest level that takes down all people, bite and devour and consume one of another. But Jesus is going to heal that. A heart's going to repent. Many hearts are going to be free. So, Lord, we thank you for our president, as we thank you for President Obama, as we thank you for President Bush, as we thank you for President Clinton, as we thank you for President Bush, as we thank you for President Reagan, as we thank you for President Carter, as we thank you for President Ford, as we thank you for President Nixon, and on. We know that we haven't always thanked you. We've had high opinions of ourselves, thought we could do better. We've spoken, we've yelled at the television set. We ask your forgiveness. We ask you to take off this increasing war of words on all people, and may we humble ourselves. May we allow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to hold his place again, because he is indeed the one we're to kiss. We kiss you, Jesus, because you are worthy, and you do not take kindly to any of your sons and daughters speaking evil of any person on the earth. So we humble ourselves and ask forgiveness for that, for we've done it easily. And we ask you to cleanse us and grant us eyes again to see, so we might behold you and not lose sight of the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is able to save and heal and deliver. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. We'll pray more into that prayer for the nations. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Okay, so my heart is overflowing with a good theme. We just got cleaned up a little bit, so we can let the theme start flowing now. A good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. This is the reason. One of the things the Lord was talking to me this week, which in regards to whole living, in regard to the soul, is we have to preach to our soul and understand that the audience that first has to hear the revelation of Jesus Christ is your soul. And there's times our soul doesn't want to yield, and we just have to preach to it. And that's where your tongue, and you recite, and it'd be composition. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. I am living for the last, I don't know how long it's been, sometime last year, it really shifted, in the beholding of the exalted Christ, the glorified, the seated on the throne. And any place I find language that in the Bible, I just take it, and this is one of those most majestic words of language of the exalted Christ. And in your majesty ride prosperously, because I collected that on my spirit when I gave a title for this morning's session. In your majesty ride prosperously. In your majesty ride prosperously. Prosperity flows out of majesty. Majesty is something we have to choose to give. And even James, when he tried to deal with the issues of believers, he said, you can't bless God and curse man. You just polluted the whole fountain. You have to bless God and bless man. You have to move fully into majesty if you're going to ride fully prosperously. In truth, humility, and righteousness. I love Jesus. He walks in, he is truth. He walks in meekness. That's how can we find rest for our soul. One of the things the soul desires but does not realize is it desires to rest from its fears, its agitations, its strife, its struggles, its shame. And part of the reason the soul doesn't rest is because it doesn't know how to stop and get quiet. And Jesus walked in that because he was a man of prayer. And because prayer is primarily a quieting of oneself before the awesomeness of God and letting the awesomeness of God influence who you are and carry you into himself, prayer is so important, and it's something of a non-stimuli. I used to teach the Father's Heart. I said, if you're going to go spend some time with the Lord, just turn off your iPad. Don't let somebody else worship for you. I mean, if you're really in a bad place, yeah, sing with somebody, but why would you want somebody to worship for you? It's hard to come up with your own words to describe him. But if you do and practice, you start to get a vocabulary. If you get a vocabulary, you start to have a conversation. Oh, it's so good. You're not hearing me, but you'll get it. The arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. When God begins to come with the power that he's coming and to reveal Christ Jesus through the wonderful Holy Spirit, we begin to become those who are slain. We become those that are taken down. Look, come with me to Acts chapter 2. I want you to see something. Let me make sure. I'm not good at pronunciation, so I got to always go back and get it, you know. Yeah, the Tanakh. The Tanakh is the Hebrew Bible. It consists of all of our Old Testament, what we would refer to as the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew Bible. It's got the writings of Moses, it's got the prophets, it's got history and other writings, like Psalms, Proverbs. And in the Tanakh, there's a set reading for each week. And every week, you would start on the Shabbat, you start on the Sabbath, you start reading, and you'd read over the scriptures. Well, on the day of Pentecost, the set reading included Ezekiel chapter 1, 2, and 3. Now, I want to just give you the foundation where we're going. Jesus Christ has been so highly exalted, he is a man seated next to majesty. He has been given a name that no other greater than it, the name of angels, no other name above him. He is above every name, both in this age and that which is to come. He is the high exalted one. And this is the one we must behold, because only in that place can he bring us everything we're seeking. All right? He's not walking the shores of Galilee. He's not coming to the suffering of the cross and the death that it brought. He's in an elevated state of total health, wealth, deliverance, and victory, and triumph. And now, as the firstborn among many brethren, he now has the resource and is chosen to release it to all who will believe. And God the Father has said that if we will believe that he raised his son from the dead and confess him as Lord, then we're saved. He said that if we believe that he raised Jesus from dead, that would be imputed righteousness, and righteousness would be given to anyone, whoever would believe. So then Jesus said, I'm coming. It's good that I leave, because if I don't leave, then the Holy Spirit won't come. So he then, having been exalted, seated at the right hand of God, receives from the Father the Holy Spirit and sends the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's express mission in John 14, 15, and 16, the last words the disciples would have heard on the night of his betrayal, was to magnify, glorify Jesus. And he had told his disciples 10 days prior to the Holy Spirit's coming. That was like 53 days prior to the Holy Spirit's coming. Then he tells them again, you are going to need him to have power to witness me, to experience me, to witness me, to be a witness for me. So the Holy Spirit's entire assignment is to take of Jesus and reveal to us. And if we but can allow Jesus to come into a much higher exalted place than we currently hold him as. And I'm not trying to say that you're not holding him as high enough, that you think anyone else is better than him or bigger than him. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I don't see all that I want to see of him. And everything you see, you will receive. And if you receive, then you won't need it anymore. You will be in a union of communion. So let's go on. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Prayer is so vital because it surrenders people's souls. And souls, again, become often the gatekeeper to new things. And they shut the doors. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and as of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I said that if you were, well, look, we'll go to the next verse and we'll pick up. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. These are not sinful people living their lustful life. These are observant believers in God. The only time the word devout is used, it's used when Stephen was martyred. Devout men came and took and wept at his grave. And it speaks of Simeon, who served in the temple, that he was a devout man. So it's a positive word. So we're talking about people like ourselves. Okay, so being that, they would have all read that morning Ezekiel chapter 1, 2, and 3. I'd like to go there for a moment, because I think if we understand the reference point, we might then have a new illumination of the possibility of this exalted Lord and who he is. So Ezekiel chapter 1, I'll just use some references in my Bible. Thank you. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Now it came to pass on the 30th year in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebah, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Heba. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, I want to reference this because it's kind of similar, I think, to what they just experienced in Acts chapter 2. And a whirlwind was coming out from the north. A great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. Can you allow your imagination to start to see something? It's higher, it's just menacing, terrifying, raging fire. And brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst, all around it, radiating, just pulsating movement, sound, and fire, like the color of amber, gold, and orange, out of the midst of the fire. That's a pretty heat. And also from within came the likeness of four living creatures, which we see later described in Isaiah 6. We see them described in Revelation 4 and 5. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and they had, each one had four faces, and each one had four wings, and their legs were straight, and their soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet, and they sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. So inside this massive enveloping light storm are these four living creatures. So he peers inside, or he's being overwhelmed in the brightness of this, which is a description of glory, per Ezekiel's words. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each one had four faces and four and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. There's just, I can't teach through all of that because there's so much of the way glory operates and moves. They had a face of a man, they had a face of a lion, had a face of an ox, had a face of an eagle. And they had four wings, their wings up touched, others covered their body. Then they had wheels next to each other, on by-sided. Look at verse 13, just because I want to get descriptive words. And as the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. So in these four living creatures, which we know to be in the throne, in the midst of the throne, they happen to be the means of the movement of the throne, is this torches, Holy Spirit, lightnings, fires. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like flashes of lightning. So my brain is, I can't even keep all that in my mind. And I've meditate on that. But there's something of sound and movement and lightnings and thunders. It's... Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with all its four faces. The wheel, I think, might have had like a gyro wheel, because they're wheels within wheels. I don't think they were like all linear. They probably were, again, like those hoverboards my grandson got. You know, allow you to, you just keep, I don't know what, but it's full purpose, because it moved with the living creatures. When the living creatures went up, it went up. When it went forward, it all went forward, but they all went as one, which is so much about the unity of the body of Jesus, the freedom to be who we are called to be, and not force others to go our direction, but all of us go in who we are, therefore we all go as one forward. Oh, the appearance of the wheels and the workings was like color of beryl, a blue-green, brilliant. And the same had the four had the same likeness, appearance of the workings. They moved and went forward. Wherever they went, their eyes were in the wheel. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, everything went that way. And the Spirit and the wheels were connected to the living creatures, and they had the same Spirit, and it's just glorious. Verse 21. When those stood, these stood. So wheels, creatures. And when these were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal. I almost feel like we're looking from underneath what John sees from above in Revelation 4. Above them, a firmament like a crystal, like the crystal sea that he saw around the throne. Above them was a firmament, was a living creature, was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. And when they went, I heard the noise of wings, like the noise of many waters. You think heaven's quiet? We start to have a little movement of the Spirit, everybody's going, tone down. There's a sound that heaven generates that shakes and moves things into surrendered submission to delightful quietness and responsiveness. And these, so sound of noise of many waters, the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. You ever wondered how those four lepers got the rest of the Syrian army to flee, like in terror? Just turned on a little of the wings of the living creature sound. And they stood still, they let down their wings. And then a voice came from above the firmament. Let me understand you. We see the reason I'm looking to see the exalted Christ is because in the exalted Christ is my future. The exalted Christ is my healing. The exalted Christ is my deliverance. The exalted Christ is my salvation. The exalted Christ, the magnificent one, the firstborn among many sons, of which I am one of the sons, to which I am being conformed into that image. So that image is the one I've got to see, because I'm not being conformed to the Galilean, the Nazareth. I am being conformed to the resurrected Son of God. So this, and glory is the means in which that transformation takes place, because the glory of God in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, is now seen in the face of Jesus. And the way we have full experience in the fullness of the glory of God and let it shine and bright expressiveness is seen in the face of Jesus. Glory is a huge thing for us. Taught on the glory. We had Cindy Jacob show up that night, Thanksgiving weekend. She has a message that she's been delivering, but she feels she's got to teach on glory. I'm going to be in London on the end of the month, or the end of February, in Commonwealth to teach on the glory in anticipation of the Chosen Conference that's coming up in August. Because it's in this realm we see. See, everything else, we can go to the law, stare at it, it'll condemn us, confuse us. It will awaken sin within us. It'll stir up appetites we didn't even know we had. And the blinders will go over our minds and over our hearts. But if we turn to Jesus, all of that disappears. Just poof. That's why it's so beautiful. That's why prayer is like the most precious moment of your day, because you have the moment, you have the opportunity to see Jesus, and immediately all lies, all vapors, all veils, poof. And in seeing Jesus, the glory of God begins to create a transformation that you have no, you don't even, you see, because your soul now is checked back into its rightful role as to be a magnifier of God and not a dictator of God. And it yields to the great one that it's beholding and begins to magnify, and transformation starts to take place. Oh, so here, in the glory, I said all that because I want to tell you about glory, because I want to say this. In the glory, you will always have the voice of God. Study it out. Every time the glory shows, God speaks. Because all transformation takes place through the voice of God being experienced in the glory of God. All right, I'm slowing. Take off. The voice came from above the firmament. There was over their heads. We haven't even got to the big part. You see, we could just all camp around here and go, whoa, I want to see that. No, you don't want to see that. This is all to see what we're about to see. The voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads, and whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne. In the appearance like a sapphire. Beloved, these men in the upper room and all those devout men in Jerusalem had come together for the Feast of Pentecost, one of the three prescribed feasts. God had commanded Israel to return to Jerusalem, which is where he'd placed his name every year. And these devout 120 disciples had been in the upper room praying for 10 days. And they've been reading this. They've been reading this. Go look it up. It's you when you get to Shavuot, this will be what you're supposed to read. They've been reading this. And as I say, prayer into a vision is nothing more than an overactive prayer session. It begins to take a life, the word's life and spirit. And so they're seeing. Now they see a throne. This throne is the appearance of a sapphire stone, blue, brilliant, royal blue. On the likeness of the throne was the likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Stay with me. And from the appearance of his waist upward, I saw, and it were the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within. And from the appearance of his waist downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. You want to get a more descriptive? Go to Revelation chapter 1 today, and you can get a real good picture of that glorious Son of Man. And like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it, radiant splendor. There was appearance of the likeness of the glory. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And so when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. How many would like to have a prayer experience like that? All right? This is just nothing but a prayer meeting. This is a man in pursuit, and God in pursuit, and now he's having an encounter. Just like a John on the Isle of Patmos. Okay, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. So they're having this experience. The glory of God's coming into their room. The sound, the thunder, the lightning, the fire. They've been just reading this. And all of a sudden it's happening to them. Oh, glory. Now, when they begin to speak in other tongues and the sound. See, it says, well, suddenly came a sound from heaven. The word sound is the word echo. That's how, E-C-H-O. That's how we spell the Greek into the English. An echo of heaven burst through. And then, verse 6, it says, when the sound occurred, that is not the word echo, that's the word phone, or phoné, we would say it in the Greek. It means a sound brought forth for the purpose of disclosure. It's not just for its own attention getting, it is to disclose. That's what it means. In Revelation, you'll see that word most often used. It'll be for thunders, lightnings, voices. Or not lightnings, thunders, voices. Oh. When the sound occurred, the multitude came together. Heaven makes a sound. We hear it on earth. We all get out our phones and start texting all our friends. It just gets out. It just breaks open. The multitude came together. They were confused. Because everyone heard them speak in their own language. This was a supernatural, sovereign introduction of what was about to be proclaimed. And it wasn't the coming of the Holy Spirit. He was coming for a purpose greater than himself, already stated by the Master. He was coming to reveal Christ. Whoosh, I want you to reveal Christ, Holy Spirit. And they were all amazed.
And they marveled, saying to one another, look, and not all these Galileans. And how is it we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Again, they would come from all the world because they were prescribed by God to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And they list themselves. This is the entire known world. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and those dwell in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, the entire known world. We hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. The word wonderful works is a poor translation. It should be, and marvelous or magnificence of God. Works is just something they threw in there to try to, in other words, they were not praising what God was doing. They were praising who God is. They were proclaiming this magnificent Jesus. Jesus. Jesus on the throne. Jesus, you see. Oh, the marvelous, the magnificence of God. They were praising, they were declaring the magnificence of God. There's something, when you can declare the magnificence of God, soon the works of God will show up. But if you're trying to get the works of God without the magnificence of God, you're trying to get a car without, you're not going to the source where light comes, healing comes, deliverance. They're just, they're all amazed, perplexed. What could this mean? They're in an encounter far beyond anyone's experience. Now it's a corporate encounter. And so some start mocking. Yeah, they're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, guys. It's right now. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now the problem is we stopped here and made this the fullness of the church. It is the means to the fullness of the church, which is Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that, in other words, the amplifier loses its amplification if it loses what it's focused on. See, right now we're having an explanation of what's happening. Guys, this is Bible, right? This is okay, it's in the Bible. That's really all they're doing. It's okay. It's in the Bible. I know we haven't not used to it, but it's Bible. And then wonders, heaven, above, science. It's going to get even brighter and more. The elements, the nature will begin to respond. And so the language of the Holy Spirit now would be visions and dreams, tongues, interpretations of tongues, prophecy, and it would all be about Jesus. So verse 21. It shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, there's the purpose. We lost them. This is still for us today. These are devout men. I'm a devout man. You're a devout person. All right? So it's for us. If I call on the Lord as I see him, salvation comes because he is salvation. He is the man saved, first man saved, first man healed, first man delivered in the new covenant, in this new place of resurrection. So men of Israel, hear these words. See, I gave you a reason, this Bible. Now let me tell you what we're really here for. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. This is not an accident, no coup, nobody, rigged the election. This was intentional. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up. This whole message now will be about the Jesus raised. Do you understand that? I preach to yourself the resurrected Christ. This God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Trust me, there was no battle in this one. There was no struggle to get Jesus free from death. For David saying concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for it is that he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my souls in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy, full of joy in your presence. Men, brethren, let me speak freely. Now he's not going to interpret what he just quoted. The patriarch David, he's both dead and buried. His tomb is with us. If you go with us to Israel and go with Mac, and he takes you to the upper room, favorite place on earth. In the basement is the body of David, the patriarch. Then there's the upper room, and then there's the roof of the upper room. We always love the upper room roof because that few people go there. So Mac will say, it makes just perfect sense to be able to say on the upper room, dude, David's still down there. So it can't be him. He's both dead and buried. His tomb's right here with us. Imagine that. That's why Israel has such a way of awakening the scriptures. Because like, oh yeah, okay. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. We're talking about the Christ now who has been elevated, anointed, made Lord. All that we now worship in passing happened through this resurrection, this ascension, this justification to which we have all been drawn into. He foreseeing this, so he saw, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ. How many times have we talked about resurrection in this sermon? Have we referred back to Galilee at all? We just attested he was a man, tested by God with miracles, but now we're talking about what God did with the man. That he would not soul would be not left in Hades, whose flesh would not see corruption. This Jesus. Everybody say this Jesus. This Jesus. You got to hear me. This Jesus. This Jesus. God has raised up. This Jesus. Of which we are all witnesses. And I'll say they're going to be. They were just in Ezekiel 1. They just saw. They know where he was going. They saw. They experienced. They're engulfed in the glory. The fire is burning. Their heads are aflame. The brilliance they've seen. They've experienced. The scriptures came back alive to them. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. David quoted, your throne is forever. Having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which now see and hear. That's why in the days of the old Pentecostal church, when they first had to formulate or find again the Holy Spirit See, we always lose what we have because we start saying what we have is all we need. We lose what we have when we say we have it all. Instead of going forward, diminishes. And so when we have to try to recover what we've been given, it's the people that have to find the language are the ones who have so laboriously worked. And the Pentecostals understood. They had to try to sort out how the Holy Spirit comes, who does it, and where does it come. And you would understand in the scripture that it's Jesus who baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the Father, and it's Jesus the baptizer. That's why the Four Square Church said Jesus the baptizer and the Holy Spirit, the soon and coming King, the healer, and Savior. This Jesus has received from the Father the promise, and now has poured it out, which you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. the Exalted One, the Lord Christ, seated at the right hand of God, who now received from the Father the promise, poured it out upon us, till I make your enemies your footstool. Now catch this. May the power of the Holy Spirit come in these words. May they find entrance into our lives to exalt and take away the blinders and see a greater vision of Jesus. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God, who? God has made, that's a huge word. This wasn't there before. When Jesus emptied himself to become man, he was all man. All man. Now a man has been exalted, has been made by God. It's just huge. Has made this Jesus. There he is again. This Jesus. Whom you crucified. Both Lord and Christ. The essence of the entirety of this radical way that was known, Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the hearers of the way, was that Jesus was both Lord and Christ. Nobody else, and forever would be, and nothing would come higher, and everything was about him, and he was the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the firstborn. Nothing else mattered. It was all about him. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were pierced. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to him, repent. Grab this new thought. Think a new thought. Introducing concepts way beyond where you have been, where we were before this morning. Because the Holy Spirit hadn't come, we couldn't see this stuff either. So repent. That's what it literally means. Think a new thought. Get a new thought. Get your mind open. And let everyone be baptized. That's convert. Go into the direction of the sound. Baptism is a picture of conversion. It's a following into the faith, believing, converting. And then you'll receive the remission of sins, which is freedom. Literally, freedom. You get free. And then you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. For he's for you, your children, and everybody, as far off as many have been called. Fourfold beauty of salvation. Repentance, conversion, remission of sins, refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, baptism, remission of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, turning, freedom, fulfillment, inheritance. And with many other words, he testified, exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the devout ones. Amazing. Is that? Oh, I'm happy. What if, by the beholding of Jesus Christ and his lordship, as Christ is anointed place, his high priestly ministry, you could and would receive everything you have need of? What if that is what is missing in all our efforts and works, as good as they are and hard as we try, can do nothing to release salvation in our lives but Jesus? And all our efforts, Jesus is healing, delivering. Now, I'm having a strange conversation with God these days because I'm talking to this resurrected Lord, and he's got a totally different attitude than the one I learned in church. We're going to close right now. I want to pray for everybody, and something wonderful is going to happen for everybody. Now, here's what happened. Wednesday, last week, Lord said, I want you to start exalting Christ at this level, in this manner, and I want to heal everybody.
I want to heal everybody who has, especially under disabling long-term sicknesses and illnesses. I want to undo captivities, mental torment. I want to just come and set people free. And we prayed, and there was some tangibleness about it, manifest. But the next morning, I think it was Monday, I'm walking, taking time with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I just want to talk to you about what you said to me and how things went. I said, you know, you said you were going to heal everyone. Before I get the words out of my mouth, he said, I did. Well, my theology has to support that, right? Because my healing came at the cross and completed at the resurrection. So it isn't a decision. Like Jesus isn't sitting up in heaven going, let me see what I think about how you guys are today. You know, yeah, I'm pretty devout. Your song list was pretty good. Your worship was pretty intense. I counted the offering already. I think you guys are sincere. I think I'll heal some people today. He doesn't do that. He's healed everybody today. He's saving everybody today. He's redeeming everybody today. He's delivering everybody today. Well, then I'm going, well, Lord, if you healed everybody, what's my problem? He said, your problem is receiving. It's the receiving you've got to work on. So that started to talk to me as a minister of how I have to try to position Christ as the complete one so that it's just a matter of receiving. You can receive your healing. You can receive your salvation. You can receive your deliverance. You can receive your prosperity because he's already saved. He's already healed. He's already delivering. He is actively in this posture. He's not deciding individual cases. It's just a matter of those who have, when we hear and believe, we move to a position to receive. Now you say, oh, but that's going to, what happened if I go through this morning when I don't receive? It doesn't manifest. Then we get to live in the beautiful state of hope, which we're all saved in hope. There's parts of redemption that have not yet found their way into expression. The creation's waiting. Even we who have the Holy Spirit. Oh, I can't wait to get to next service. Even we who have the first fruits of redemption, which is the Holy Spirit, we're longing for the fulfillment of redemption. So we're saved in hope. So, I don't know, let's just stop. Stand up with me. Let's just, everything now is about Jesus. For the next 2 minutes, turn your affection, your attention, your thoughts, your imagination to the resurrected, glorified Jesus, whom the apostles read that day in Ezekiel chapter 1, to whom the Holy Spirit came and displayed in Acts chapter 2, to whom they preached about in likeness of the Son of Man seated on the throne, and whom they acknowledge now was Jesus, whom God raised from the dead to place him there, to whom all devout Jews knew that this was the Messiah, this was the anointed one, this was the Christ. There was no one else coming, no one else needed. He was complete. He was a liberator, deliverer, healer. Look at him. He is that same one today. He is healing you now. He is saving you now. He is delivering you now. He is redeeming you now. He is prospering you now. He is doing it now. It's there. It's accessible now. So receive. Receive. Lambano. Receive. Take it upon yourself. Take it. Not passively. Grab it. Say, I'm receiving my healing that Jesus is giving. I'm receiving my deliverance that Jesus is giving. I'm receiving my salvation that Jesus is giving. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is giving. I receive a new thought that I hadn't been able to think before. Jesus is a new thought. Hallelujah. Way the truth, the light. Whoa. Receive. Just pull. Receive. Welcome. Hikababa. Take the package. Open it up. It's better than Amazon. Come on. Hashaba bero bota baba. Receive. Receive. Oh, tiki bacha. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you. Mm-hmm.
we receive. Take depression away, sadness away, fear and accusation, condemnation. Take it all. It's His. He bought it. And He'll give you His. Redemption, joy, pleasure, victory. Lord, as we go to nations prayer, as we go into our day, I pray that from the framework and the beauty of your scriptures, we might behold the glory of the Christ. And in beholding the glory of the Christ recorded in scripture, Holy Spirit might come and magnify and amplify and create the majesty of God before us. And in the majesty of God, the glory of God, in the Christ, we might be transformed into the image of what we're beholding. And that we give you praise. We thank you that we are saved in hope. And Holy Spirit knows how to take wherever we got to get us to where we're to be. And nothing's going to stop Him from fulfilling His mission. For we will be a glorified, beautiful bride, awakened like Psalm 45. We will forget our Father's house. We will desire the King's beauty. He will long after us. Instead of our fathers, we will have children. There's something of you coming, and we bless you in it. And bless the nation's prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, bless you guys. Sorry.